Mini episode 815 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to mini episode 815 of the FDH Lounge. This is FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our spoiler-free review of Hulu's new miniseries National Treasure. Here are the top five things to know about this engrossing TV project. Number five, it's kind of an alternative reality version of what would have happened had longtime British TV show host Jimmy Savile been brought to justice for his sex crimes before they came to light after his death. American viewers might also think of the Bill Cosby scandals. Savile does exist in the universe of this show, however, with his ghost looming over events as the protagonist bemoans that he is being persecuted because the justice system failed to nail the television legend before he died. Robbie Coltrane stars as Paul Finchley, the lesser half of a legendary comedy duo in the UK, alongside his longtime friend Carl Jenkins. In the twilight of his career, Paul is hosting an afternoon game show. After being selected as the presenter of a prestigious show business award for Carl, Paul is thrust back into the wider limelight again, triggering various allegations of sexual abuse from women dating back decades. Through the course of the four episodes, clips from Paul's glory days are shown, portraying the persona of a man aggrieved at being the lesser light in his comedy act, but also with a great sense of entitlement about exploiting his fame for sexual purposes in a way that marriage could not tame. By his own admission, Paul was a scummy husband, but was he an actual abuser? As his case winds its way through the courts, more and more information comes to light. Number four, Paul's wife and daughter are depicted as bearing the brunt of his dealings with women. The wife, Marie, turned a blind eye toward Paul's philandering, asking only that he unburden himself about his affairs after they happened. Her adjustment to a new reality, as it becomes clear that Paul was not completely forthcoming with her, is fascinating. Their daughter, Dee, is a recovering drug addict who is in the midst of a divorce and does not presently have custody of her son. The trigger for her downfall remains something of a mystery throughout the series, complicated by the fact that she has gaps in her memory, and as public suspicion of her father as a molester grows, so too do her fears that she herself was abused. With strained relationships with both of her parents, Dee becomes a very important wild card in the resolution of the series. Number three, the jealousy between Paul and Carl actually runs both ways. For all of Paul's efforts to make a mockery of his own marriage, Carl is actually envious that it existed at all, putting Marie on a pedestal far above the parade of women that he ran through in his efforts to cope with not having her. This provides a window into the kind of duplicity that this comedic legend, untainted in the public mind, is capable of demonstrating. Number two, the intertwining of the legal and media machinery takes this ride to the next level. If you ever imagined what a Jimmy Savile or Bill Cosby trial would have looked like, this show presents a pretty decent approximation, with a real trial of the century buildup. Through it all, the ongoing foibles of Paul's troubled daughter cast a shadow on his defense, and his method of neutralizing that factor is truly shocking. Number one, the series does end up answering the question of Paul's guilt, even as it remains somewhat open-ended about what happens next. Paul's constant drumbeat about being a convenient patsy because of his womanizing keeps the truth in some doubt all the way near the end, even as the parallel question looms about whether the verdict will actually capture the truth of the matter. Both questions are answered, but the exact shape of Paul's life in the aftermath is only hinted at, not fully shown. You can understand why it played out that way, from an artistic standpoint. Maintaining the show's thread of mystery to the very end, but it would have been tremendous to see the closure of a final on-screen conversation between Paul and his wife. Still, this series was riveting, and while it's definitely not in the wheelhouse for those who prefer their subject matter to be light, most others would likely see this as a very stimulating journey. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.